Welcome to Close the Door and Come Here, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast with heavy leanings towards our two favorite characters, Jaime and Brienne.
There, there was a bear there, all black and brown and covered in hair.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kama, and you can find me at Kama Splice on Blue Sky Social. And today I'm joined by Clotho.
Hi, I'm Clotho, and you can find me at Clotho on Twitter. I don't know for how long. I'm not really active on there, so.
Can't find her anywhere.
Yeah, I know. I need to go boot
and Chicky.
Blue Sky.
I'm Chicky on Blue Sky Social.
As always, we'll be spoiling everything, showing books, a lot of violence, I think, in this one. Today we are talking about John 10 from A Storm of Swords. So John is being lowered down from the wall in a cage. He has been stuck in a 5x5 cell by those two lovable guys, Janos Slint and Alistair Thorne. The plan had been for him to either rot to death or get to hang him, but Aemon wrote to Cotter Pike explaining what's going on. So John has been sprung. And their new wonderful idea is they want him to go to Mance, who wants to negotiate. And John doesn't think that's the best idea. And they're like, well, you're not going there to actually negotiate. You're going there to kill him.
I love how these two are like, oh, we figured out a way to get rid of him now. It's like just a dastardly little plan that they've cooked up.
Yeah, there's something else. They're so annoyed that Aemon, and they have some choice cracks about him too, that he interfered on their little, rained on their little parade. But anyhow.
Yeah, I love it when Janos Slint is like, who does he think he is? And John thinks he's Aemon Targaryen. He's the son and brother of kings. That's who he is.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I mean, Alistair, I don't think is as dumb as Janos, but yeah, they're questionable there. But anyhow, so he goes out to meet Mance, and Tormund comes to greet him. And I totally forgot how much I like Book Tormund. And enough time has passed that I feel like I can like him again. So, I thought they had a pretty entertaining conversation. I mean, some of it was sad, of course, but someone has stolen Tormund's daughter, you know, that kind of thing. And
well, what I liked about this interaction is like there was kind of an element of almost like, you know, old foes, like in like a pro sports kind of way or something, where it's like, hey, technically we're on opposite teams, but we're doing the same job and we can be buddies still. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of fun. You kind of have to like that about Tormund.
Yeah. So we get to Mance's tent. Vala is extremely, extremely pregnant. I kind of love this. So they're in this tent, which is, well, I'll get to why I think this is hysterical, but so basically we learn that Varamyr Sixskins, and I'm unclear how he's actually done this. It sounds like he's almost absorbed Aurel.
Yeah. Well, he took over Aurel's eagle, and that's where Aurel kind of left himself in his eagle when he died.
Right. Okay.
And so then when Varamyr's like, you can take any animal, and I'm sure George will use this later, and it better not be one of the fucking dire wolves, even though I know it will be. Once an animal has been used by like a, you know, what do they call them?
A warg.
Yes. Then another warg can more easily get into them. So he's like, so I took Aurel's eagle, and Aurel was still in there, and now Aurel's in me. It's this whole creepy, weird thing. Like, okay.
Yeah, there's some later dialogue about how Aurel really hates John, and Varamyr talks about this. Like, it's just kind of disturbing.
Well, and obviously set up, thank you, George, for books that you will never write where John is clearly going to go live inside Ghost for a while in a way that none of us probably would have enjoyed.
Yeah. But anyhow, Varamyr, because he has taken over the eagle, and gotten Aurel as sort of a buy one, get one. He can now fly, and because of that, they've been able to fly over the wall, or he's been able to fly over the wall. And now Mance and Co. all know there's going to be no more of we've got a bunch of dummies up on the wall, like pretending they're people. They know what the numbers are. They know the supplies. They know the situation. They know about the loss of the staircase. So there's the bluffing about how much support they have is done. And then John also realizes that they've got the Horn of Winter. So this is where I would like to pause and talk about George's sense of scale. Because, I mean, I grant you, they're in a large tent. You know, he is the king beyond the wall. It's clearly where he's been living, where poor Vala is, all that. But the horn is 8 goddamn feet long.
Yeah, I can't figure out. Does he mean it's like a curved horn and so it's not taking up that much space because it's like 8 feet curved in on it, curled in on itself?
I'm not sure. I can't figure it out. I mean, there's a description about like, I mean, it sounds like it's massive. I'm not wrong here, right? Because I'm reading this.
No,
I'm like, okay.
I stumbled over it too because I was like 8 feet in a tent. And then I was like, does he mean it's curled up? It would be 8 feet if you stretched it out, but it's curled up. I don't know.
I'm really hoping it's curled up because that tent has got to be like, I don't even know. It's either that or they're all just crowded in there with the horn. I mean, you know,
like some giant thing you have to be
careful not to step over with.
Like they get around on a cart or, you know, this...
So John is alarmed and they're like, basically Mance does not want to have to use it because there's like, first of all, they talk about the cost to using magic. I think Vala talks about that. Or Dala. I'm sorry. I'm calling her Vala. Vala's the sister, right? Dala is.
Yeah. And they're both having babies.
I totally didn't get that name. My apologies.
Or no, is her sister not pregnant? Val's not pregnant, right? Or is it?
Val's the sister. Dala is the
Okay.
Wife, partner, life partner, whatever, but she's heavily pregnant.
Okay.
And the other reason they don't want to use it is if the wall falls, which is what the legends all say, there will be no way to keep the others out. And what Mance wants is they want a way through. They want safe passage through the wall. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to have more of their people die. It's all understandable.
But it's like another thing is like, is it magic where it just disappears, or like if a wall that big, like I'm just trying to figure out the, like, if it comes down, you'd have to dig out somehow. I don't know. If
it's, yeah, well, and I mean, it's the question
melt,
of where it falls,
where
and
all
that.
The water I mean, go, and melts.
Well, and the wall is again with George's sense of scale. It's what's supposed to be hundreds and hundreds of feet high.
That would be a huge avalanche. I don't know what happens when that.
but John wants to know, like, okay, if we let you through, how are you going to make sure your people, you know, can abide by the laws of the Seven Kingdoms? And Mance is like, well, no, we're not going to do that at all. We're going to have our own rules.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't. It's like I get that, like, you know, I don't think they should be stuck there with the others, but at the same time, it's like, is it really reasonable of Mance to be like, well, we're just going to do whatever the fuck we want? I don't know if that's realistic. Like, it's like, I don't think that's going to
go
well.
It's not. And, you know, you get a sense here, if he had played this a little differently with John, John might have had some ideas that would have been more workable, but it's just like, no, they're not going to let you through this massive army to, like, settle and conquer the North.
Right.
Come on.
But Mance, I think, feels he has the upper hand, and he's like, basically, so you're not going to let us through in 3 days, or if you can't, we need to hear, because in 3 days' time, otherwise Tormund, because I guess he's probably the only one they've got left big enough to handle this massive horn, he's going to sound it in 3 days. So then, I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on any of this, or...
You know, I'll just be honest with you. I don't love that there's a horn that can do this. It feels, I don't know. It's not my favorite element of the story. there's a...
Yeah, I'd forgotten they'd found it, and I was... I don't know.
Yeah, because it's, but... it's just so... It just seems on one hand too easy, but then too, like... Not realistic.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, here you have this massive, and it is massive, like, you know, behemoth of a wall cutting clear across an entire continent that also has magical properties that are keeping out some, you know, terrible force that can kill everything that it finds. And all it takes is to blow one horn to turn it off or to bring it down, whatever this does, if it just turns off the magic or actually physically makes it fall. I don't know. It's not my favorite element of the story. I'll just say that again.
Yeah, I almost would have liked it with, you know, for Mance to be like, to stick with, look, we know your numbers, which he does, right? To keep that part of it and then go, we're going to launch a full-on offensive and you're not going to be able to stop us this time. I think that would have worked.
Yeah.
But in any case, it's sort of a moot point because another horn, presumably one that's much smaller, sounds. And that means that they're being... attacked, and at first it looks like they are Night's Watch. They are the Watch. They're coming from the east, and they conclude that that means that they're Cotter Pike's forces. And John is swearing, "I don't know anything about this." And then I kind of love this whole scene because it starts from being like this very hostile, whatever, to Varamyr starts screaming bloody murder because his eagle form is on fire. And then Dala is in labor and all of a sudden they're being attacked and it's not just the Watch. I mean, they're being attacked by hundreds of men. And it sounds kind of insane. I guess there's like three columns that are advancing. Val comes out to say Dala's in labor. She needs to find the midwife. And John's like, you know, you're the midwife, which I'm sure must have been a wonderful announcement there, but he's going to stay. But he's seen men everywhere. There's knights, there's mounted bowmen. He sees a bunch of sigils. The only one I know is the one that's the Stannis's new banner, but the others, there's a field of birds and there's one that's a ring of flowers, but I was not able to find out who those belong to. I don't know.
This is another one of those. I mean, this is a really good moment. Like, it's a big, huge moment. It's a huge Stannis moment, obviously. But it's a little difficult to believe that Mance wouldn't have had any forewarning that a force this big was large, sneaking up on him.
Especially since they've got the guy with the eagle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It kind That's of true. Defies, you know, belief. I can see how you could maybe get away with saying, oh... you know, the Night's Watch didn't know because they were so depleted in men. They didn't have anybody doing any scouting anywhere. You could kind of believe that, I guess. But Mance, there's just really no reason Mance.
No, I mean, they're preparing for an offensive. Yeah. Even if they bring down the wall, I mean, they have to assume. I mean, I would be assuming that once you get over there, you're not going to be welcomed.
Right.
You know, you'd have to be doing some scouting.
Yes, you would think. And so this is a little okay. Okay, it's a fun.
And I looked at the Florence sigil, but that's like a fox surrounded by flowers, which doesn't really sound like a field of a ring of flowers. I don't know, maybe it is. But in any case, we don't know, and I couldn't find out. Outside, Mance is trying to rally, and his horse gets like killed from underneath him. And then John, everything, it was just mass chaos. Yes, it sounds chaos. Like everything's falling apart. And John sees a sigil that looks like, you know, Robert's sigil, the original Baratheon sigil. And he thinks of Robert, but he's like puzzled as to what's going on. And then the knight starts shouting, "Stannis, Stannis, Stannis." And it ends with him walking away and going into the tent.
Yeah. This is a great moment. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the moment. This is a good moment. I'm turning the logic part of my brain off. This is great. We're enjoying it.
Well, and I really do like their chapters. I really like the John and Stannis kind of interaction. That's
something
I look forward to.
Yeah. frankly, I always enjoy when Mance is in the chapters too. He's always entertaining, and obviously Tormund.
Well, it was kind of interesting. Like, it's a couple points they were talking. I forget the context now, but Mance is like basically when they're talking about, okay, let's say we let you through, you know, how is this going to work and all that. And Mance is like, you know, we don't elect, like, I'm the king because I got elected. I'm not the king. I didn't come from any fancy house or anything. You know, that's not how we work. Again, is another clue to, it's going to be interesting to see how this would all, how this group would, you know, be absorbed into a society that is extremely hierarchical.
Yes. Yes. And
yeah,
it is hard to know.
I mean, and just to see how, like, the thing is how quickly, I mean, because it is, it's a surprise attack, obviously, but how quickly things sort of start to unravel with the wildlings. It's, man.
Well, yeah, and it goes from them having the total advantage to them being, like, you know, being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I have to assume hundreds of men is probably an underestimation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're taking out all of the various, I mean, they are organized, they are coordinated, they know what they're doing.
So they came up the coast, was that the idea? They came up the coast on, or how did they do
Yes.
it? Okay.
Yeah, they
okay.
sailed up okay. to, like, I don't know, to Eastwatch?
Yes.
Sense,
yeah. And then came over. Okay. This is, George loves to do this, like, you know, he'll leave you off on a Davos chapter where Davos is hinting at, you know, paying attention to the north, and then suddenly Stannis is here. I wish he could still move his story in this fashion. I think he's lost
yeah.
the ability to do it.
It would be nice.
It would be.
I think that's it for what I had. Any concluding thoughts on the chapter?
Another good one. I mean, Jon's chapters have been, like, bleak but entertaining. In A Storm of Swords, very bleak but very entertaining.
Yeah, and you think it's going to be it's kind of funny to think about the big surprise going to be in for people on the wall when this goes, you know, when they find
mm-hmm.
out.
Yeah.
Well, especially with, you know, Jon Slint and Alistair being such assholes.
Oh, it's, yeah.
You know, it's like something to look forward to.
Yes, it is. It is something to look forward to. You're right. And we need that.
All right. Do we have any mail?
No, I don't think we have any mail for this, but I did want to just mention again that we do have, drumroll please, our 10-year anniversary as a podcast coming up. And we're going to be recording our 10-year anniversary episode in March. So we're going to put out a big call for questions or comments or anything anybody wants to share. Look for those posts on the Jamie Brienne subreddit or on the Discord server, and I think we'll probably throw a post up on Tumblr too about it, so look out for that. 10 years, ladies, 10 years. Okay. And none of us have aged today.
And we knew each other before then too,
right?
We did,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah. Well,
hard to believe so much time has passed.
It feels like, I think I've lived every minute of it about 6 times, though, so I definitely believe so much time has passed.
Oh, did you all read, I hope that, I don't think it had gotten talked about. Did we talk about, like, did you read that year, end of the year update by George? It was so depressing. Like, I mean, I don't blame him, but it was one of the most depressing things I've read in a long time.
Oh, this year's?
Yeah.
No, he's not in a good place.
It's just like all these people who have died that he's known, everything feels bleak to him. The world's in a terrible place. Like, it just sounded so hopeless. It was just like really depressing. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
he's reached that point in his life, which, you know, I've definitely seen parents and grandparents go through, where everyone they know starts to die. And
yeah,
it's taking a toll. It's taking a toll.
And
on
it's plus there's a lot
of
shit.
He's 75.
Yeah, and there's a lot of shit going on in the world. He's right. It's a lot of horrible shit.
Well, lives in New Mexico, I think.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't imagine that's been fun.
Yeah. So that just, wow. Yeah. So it's like, it seems like that just gets more every year, his love. It's like, oh gosh.
Nothing will ever top the time he trolled us all.
We were waiting all night.
Well, and I think I was
he accidentally erased it.
It's not
going to
be anything any big. And then yeah, it was what I'm talking about for hours is football and all the stuff.
And that was like 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe it. It's wild. I know.
Well, if you'd like send us a message about how much time has passed or questions for us on anything we're doing, you can do so at closethedoorandcomehere.tumblr.com. You can also email us at closethedoorand@gmail.com. Guile says she's still staffing the Twitter account. I cannot call it X. Door Podcast.
Guile is like the watcher on the wall at at Twitter.
There are no DMs yet at Blue Sky, but if you know, I guess if you name checked us on Chicky or I and Blue Sky, we'd see it too.
Yeah, you could be first.
Please like and review us. Hey, we have fans on Blue Sky who follow us.
That's
exciting. Please like and review us wherever you listen, as it really helps new listeners find the podcast. And it's been a whole, like, almost a year and a half since we've gotten a review. So throw us one if you haven't ever done that. And lastly, we'd like to thank our Patreons, patreon.com/closethedoor. You help keep the lights on. And with that, I'm closing the door. Get out.